Pentecost was fulfilled, they were all in one place together. And suddenly there came from the sky a noise like a strong driving wind, and it filled the entire house in which they were. Then there appeared to them tongues as of fire, which parted and came to rest on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in different tongues as the Spirit enabled them to proclaim. Now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven staying in Jerusalem. At this sound, they gathered in a large crowd, but they were confused because each one of them heard them speaking in his own language. And they were astounded, and in amazement, they asked, "Are not all these people who are speaking Galileans? Then who does each of us hear them in his native tongue? We are Parthians, Medes, Elamites, inhabitants of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the districts of Libya near Cyrene, as well as travelers from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs, yet we hear them speaking in their own tongues of the mighty acts of God." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Out your spirit and renew the face of the earth.
Bless the Lord, O my soul. O Lord my God, you are great indeed. How manifold are your works. O Lord, the earth is full of your creatures.
Lord, send out your spirit and renew the face of the earth.
If you take away their breath, they perish and return to their dust. When you send forth your spirit, they are created, and you renew the face of the earth.
Lord, send out your spirit and renew the face of the earth.
May the glory of the Lord endure forever. May the Lord be glad in his works. Pleasing to him be my theme. I will be glad in the Lord.
Lord, send out your spirit and renew the face of the earth.
A reading from the first letter of St. Paul to the Corinthians. Brothers and sisters, no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. There are different kinds of spiritual gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different forms of service, but the same Lord. There are different workings, but the same God, who produces all of them in everyone. To each individual, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for some benefit. As a body is one, though it has many parts, and all the parts of the body, though many, are one body, also Christ. For in one Spirit, we are all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slaves or free persons, and we were all given to drink of one Spirit. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Hallelujah.
Alleluia. 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 Alleluia.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Glory to you, O Lord. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the doors were locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in their midst and said to them, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side, and the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. Whose sins you forgive are forgiven them, and whose sins you retain are retained." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
When the time for Pentecost was fulfilled, they were all in one place together. And suddenly there came from the sky a noise like a strong driving wind, and it filled the entire house in which they were. Today we are 50 days removed from the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, where we commemorated the reunification of the body of Jesus with his soul. Last week, we celebrated Jesus' ascension back into heaven, into the mystery of the Trinity, taking with him the human nature. It was a bodily event. It wasn't a spiritual event. It was a bodily event where the body of Jesus, that human nature, has gone irreversibly into the life of the Trinity, into heaven itself. And as he has preceded us, we now look to follow. And this today marks the moment in which we can say, not only are all of the mysteries of the Easter season fulfilled, we could really say that the entire body of salvation history is fulfilled with the outpouring of the Holy Spirit upon the apostles and the world, for that matter. Notice the details that are given to us, and also we see similarly, as was the case with last week's celebration of the Ascension, none of the four Gospels contain a record of the event of Pentecost. It comes to us from the writings of the book of the Acts of the Apostles, attributed to the authorship of the Gospel of St. Luke, the evangelist. And as we look at the reality of what's described in the book of the Acts of the Apostles, we're told that a strong driving wind was heard, and it filled the house. We think of what happened at the beginning of creation. As God was creating, the Spirit is described as hovering over the waters, causing them to teem with life. So as we see the outpouring of the Holy Spirit today, it's important to realize it's not the first time that the Holy Spirit has been present in creation, in God's plan. The Holy Spirit, all three persons of the Trinity have been present in some form or other. And so we hear of this wind. We may wonder about the fiery tongues that come down upon the apostles, penetrating their minds and their hearts. 50 days removed from Easter would be for the first century Jews, they would be remembering the Passover, leading them out of the place of bondage in Egypt for over 400 years. They would arrive at the foot of the mountain of Sinai in the Sinai desert. As they waited and witnessed Moses up on top of the mount, he was receiving the Decalogue, the Ten Commandments, and there was the phenomena of fire, wind, and the earth quaked, it shook, and there the reality of the law of God was given on the stone tablets. The cloud of the presence, the Shekinah. Yet, and here we see now not on stone tablets, but the new law of God, the new and eternal covenant, is now being impressed upon hearts and minds, the indwelling of this kingdom, this mystery of love, is now realized. And we see the effect that it has. They were obedient to the Lord, stay in Jerusalem, and do not leave from there until you are clothed with power from on high. So as we look at today's gospel, we may say, well, why given this particular gospel from John? It is the gospel that captures what happened on the night of Jesus' resurrection from the dead. They're in the upper room behind the locked doors for fear of the Jews. Jesus enters, peace be with you. Showing them his wounds, they rejoice. He says again, peace be with you. Breathing on them, he says, receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. As the Father has sent me, so now I send you. So not to be confused with or saying, because some might say, well, which was the sending of the Spirit? What we hear described in the Acts of the Apostles or what's being described in John's Gospel? Well, it's kind of a both-and situation. Jesus gave them the Holy Spirit that night in the upper room. But what we see described in Pentecost is the full investiture of the Spirit. They now have the fullness of the power of the Spirit to speak in languages that they had not the mastery of prior to perform works and signs that Jesus said they would perform, and greater works and signs than what he himself had done while with us still in the human nature he assumed to himself. So we see this, and it's the great Saint Cyril of Jerusalem, who has a beautiful body of writings of catechetical teachings of the church's sacraments and other mysteries of the faith. He points out, he says, what John presents us with in his gospel is an anticipation of the great solemnity of Pentecost. You know, something else dawned on me. I've been able to go to the Holy Land twice in my lifetime. And with that, we were able to go into the upper room where the disciples were. And as I was thinking about what we are celebrating today, the realization that four of the seven sacraments were instituted in that room. Four. The first Holy Eucharist was instituted in the upper room. First Holy Communion. The apostles were ordained priests that night. Holy Orders, one of the other sacraments. Then the gift, the sacrament of reconciliation. Receive the Holy Spirit, whose sins you forgive or forgiven them, whose sins you retain or retained. And the fourth, the sacrament of confirmation. They have been confirmed in the love that Jesus has shared with them, and obviously confirmed with his death on the cross, his own Passover, dying and rising from the dead and appearing to them as he's been appearing to us. Over the course of these 40 days, now today being the 50th day, we too, hopefully, have been taking time to prayerfully prepare ourselves for a renewal of this gift of God. We see described in the Acts of the Apostles a miracle of language. They are astonished and astounded. They are speaking, Galileans speaking, and yet they are being heard and understood by Jews who have gone out to all the different areas described and pointed out in the first reading. We're told Parthians, Medes, and Elamites, inhabitants of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, districts of Libya, near Cyrene, as well as travelers from Rome. In essence, we are seeing here the realization of what Jesus said would happen. Behold, I shall send you out. You are to go to all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you, and know that I am with you always. That was the gospel of last week, the Great Commission. And we see here the universality of this gift of God has been realized in such a way it undoes the consequences of Babel. Remember the Tower of Babel. The humanity at the time, it seemingly was speaking one language, one universal language, and they decided in their arrogance and their pride, let us build a tower and go to the heavens and let us make a name for ourselves. Oh, well, that wasn't going to float. The Lord didn't allow that to continue on. We're told he confused their language. And that the term for confused, to be confused in the Hebrew, is like a play on words, balal, balal. And so Babel, Babel, Balal, it was like a play on words. It was confused. But now we see, as the disciples in love and obedience to Jesus, by being in the place he told them to be, they now speak of the mighty works of God, and the languages are all in their hearing and understanding, being that they're speaking in different languages. So the Holy Spirit gathers that which was scattered as a result of sin, arrogance, and pride. But what are we to make of it for ourselves today? They were behind the locked doors for fear. Perhaps we have fears today, insecurities, some perplexity. So much is uncertain. We wonder, where are things going? What will happen? And yet Jesus comes into the midst. Peace be with you. He breathes on us. Remember, the first Adam was of the earth, St. Paul says. The second Adam, the new Adam, is from the heavens. He's a life-giving, he breathes a life-giving spirit. He breathes the very life of God into our hearts. The power for you and I to face uncertainties, to face things that seemingly are impossible for us to do, and yet we know that with God all things are possible. We can face, not so much tomorrow, we can face today. As Jesus reminds us, today has enough trouble for itself. Tomorrow will come soon enough. Let us attend to today, on this first day of the week, in which we are being reminded, we're being reminded of the universality of God's kingdom. And this gifting of the Holy Spirit, it enables us to speak the language of love, not merely with words, but with our actions. Think about the mighty works the body of Christ has been able to realize since this pouring forth of the gift of the Spirit. The power that Jesus has invested his bride with, the church, has enabled us to go to all four corners of the earth, establishing hospitals, schools, reaching out with charitable works for the poorest of the poor. All are invited from every corner of the world. Sometimes we look at the differences in the diversity in the mystical body of Christ and in the world, and we see it as a problem, as a challenge. But it's one of the gifts of the Spirit. You know, Jesus, in his conversation with the Samaritan woman at the well, he says, if you knew who was asking you for a drink, you would be asking him for a drink. And he would give you a drink of water that would well up at you and would never run dry. So the Holy Spirit being related to as water, and how beautiful an image. St. Gregory the Great, commenting on that image of the Holy Spirit, says, consider how the rains come down from the heavens and saturate the earth. Not every part of the land is saturated with the rain. And look at what it produces. Roses, dandelions, lilacs, you know, lilies this way and that way. So many different variety of vegetation, of fruitfulness comes from the earth. The same element of water, yet producing a diverse array of vegetation and other growth on the face of the earth. So it is with the Spirit, St. Paul tells us today in his first epistle to the Corinthians. One Lord, one Spirit, we've all drunk of the same Spirit. Remember, they accused the apostles of being drunk. You know, if we would have gone a little farther with the Acts of the Apostles, today's reading, go a little further, they were being accused of being drunk, intoxicated. They were intoxicated, But not with the kind of intoxication like, you know, we drink a little too much, we forget, oh my goodness, I can't believe I did that. Did I actually do that? Yes, I have the video right here, you see? Look at you. You see what you were doing? No, it's not that type of an intoxication. It's an intoxication, but not one in which we have to be ashamed. We have a sober intoxication where we can clearly discern the ways of God in relationship to humanity, to the whole creation. And with that interpretation, with that ability to perceive the ways of God, we are now capable of acting in like fashion, consistently in the power of the Spirit. So when we consider today, and this gift that's been entrusted to us, that's been gifted to us, it's not so much something that we look at coming at us, because it's a mysterious thing. You know, you talk about the wind. Nobody knows where it comes from. Sometimes it comes forcefully. Sometimes it's gentle, subtle. But the Holy Spirit is a reality of indwelling, participating in the life of God as he is within himself, a trinity of persons, and also experiencing God within us. The Spirit enables us to mature, to grow in knowledge, to grow in love and service of this mystery that we are now being charged with, to go forth with. So as we approach the Lord today, let us bear in mind, it's always the Holy Spirit, the action of the Holy Spirit that is bringing about the transubstantiation of the substance of the bread and wine into the true bread come down from heaven, the body, blood, soul, and divinity of the Lord Jesus, feeding us, strengthening us, sustaining us, transforming us. So as we approach the Lord today, whether you're receiving the Lord tangibly in the sign of the sacrament as it is, or through the blessing bestowed upon you, present yourself to Jesus as you are and say, "Here I am, Lord. I come to do your will. I want to do your will. Grant me the grace to become what I receive." That's how you and I will affect the recreation of the face of the earth as we strive after the ways of the Lord in season and out of season. The responsorial psalm will say and do the rest for us. As the Lord says, we pray to the Lord, "Lord, send out your Spirit and renew the face of the earth." Indeed, we can conclude this time of meditation on the teaching of the apostles as it's been handed down to us by praying, "Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit, and fill the hearts of thy faithful, and enkindle in them the fire of your love. Send forth thy Spirit, and they shall be created, and thou shalt renew the face of the earth. O God, who has instructed the hearts of the faithful by the light of the Holy Spirit, please send us the same Spirit, in order that we may have a right judgment in all things, so as to ever rejoice in his holy consolations. We pray this prayer through Christ our Lord. Amen." God love you.